reading to you from the 18th chapter of Luke, and with the 18th verse. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your mother and father. All these things I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Thank you for your prayers, dear friend, for my health, because I'm getting a little better, and I want the strength to be able to go to prisons and go do what God's called me. This next week's going to be a busy week. We've got a service with the women prison, and then we have a service a Tuesday at the Denver Rescue Mission. And usually there's a dozen people get saved almost every week, so pray for us. Well, I'll be with you for half an hour. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea. Let's see the Lord ask for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 19th chapter of Luke. Let's begin reading with the first verse. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." I entitled this, "From Cheating to Charity." Zacchaeus was a crooked tax collector, and he meets Jesus. Jesus was passing through Jericho, and of course Zacchaeus met Jesus and was changed. The conversion of a man nobody thought would be saved. Let me tell you, friends, there is nothing in the world more precious for a man or a woman or a boy or a girl to be going through life, and all of a sudden they hear that God loves them. Now, you say, "Well, my mom loved me, my dad loved me." That's great, and they should. But I'll tell you right now, when Jesus loves you, you are a new creature. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." See, there's so much confusion about conversion today. Really, people think, "Well, if I just live a good life..." Well, that's fine, but we can't live a good life apart from Jesus. What happened in the garden was a terrible... That's when sin entered into the world. Our forefathers sinned, and you and I carry that sinful, Adamic nature on us today. The only way that sin can be paid for is by the precious blood of Jesus. No other way to heaven. You can be good, you can be trustworthy, you can be honest, but that'll never get you into heaven. And I know that's true, because Look at Nicodemus. He was a very rich man, a very wealthy man, and he was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was a pretty big step. But his religion did not assure him heaven. He had heard testimonies from Christians. Well, I was lost one day, and then I found Jesus. And friends, listen, that is why it is so important to share your testimony. You don't have to have a blazing testimony of as an alcoholic or a whoremonger. You just have to have a testimony that one day you were lost, and then you were found. And that song that this brother of mine used to sing, I found the answer, I learned to pray. When you find Jesus, you will be converted, and then you will find out what I'm talking about. Well, how it began. Zacchaeus, a rich man with a bad reputation. Well, Jesus, the sinless Savior, came to town, and the struggle of Zacchaeus is coming to Jesus. Now listen, his downfall. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. Now listen, friends. There's not a thing wrong with having money. No, there isn't. You know what? That's another thing I don't think people understand. The Bible said, give unto the poor, and you lend unto the Lord. That's the truth. And you can't outgive God. Try it. You can't do it. But where your heart is, that's where your treasures is. Where your money is, that's where your treasures are. Well, he had a bad reputation. He was a crook. And let me tell you, wealth was Zacchaeus' downfall. He was a chief among the publican tax collectors. The love of money had made him dishonest. You've been reading about Vic, the quarterback for this football team. The man made $30, $40 million a year, but that wasn't enough. He wanted to make more, so they kill dogs and have dog fights. And then down in Mexico, they have cockfights just for money, killing animals. Well, see, he wasn't satisfied with the $35 million he was making a year. Now he's lost all of his supporters, the tennis shoe company and many things that he had sponsored and his name got on it. That's where he made his money. Now he's lost it all. But the love of money had made Zacchaeus dishonest. He was considered a traitor even by his own people, the Jews. He must have found his wealth insufficient. His passion for money had left him feeling empty. Listen, beloved, listen to me very carefully. If you love money, you're sure to be disappointed. Let me say that again. If you love money, you're sure to be disappointed. Zacchaeus probably hoped Jesus would set him free. So he climbed up in that tree. The reason he climbed up in that tree, because he was a little in stature. He couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. H.E. Ironside, he was a come shorter. We have all come short of the glory of God in Romans 23. Yes, we have, every blessed one of us. There's none that's perfect on this earth. No, sir. And you know something else? I'm going to tell you something. This may shock some of you, but there is no perfect church on this earth. There is no perfect church. My denomination is not perfect. My church is not perfect. Because if it was perfect, you know, you and I joined that church. And when we join it, we're not perfect, so it won't be a perfect church. The only perfect church in the world is when you're born into it with a born-again experience. That's the only perfect church. And when you belong to that church, Jesus himself writes your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and that can't be taken out. He can assure you, if he says, I'm going to give you eternal life, that's exactly what he will do. I know there's religions that say, well, you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. Well, if that's the case, then John 3:16 is a farce. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. Well, Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. And wouldn't we all? Well, he wanted to get above the others. He might have even thought that he was better than others, and I'm sure he did. Many think they must climb up to get to Jesus. They hope their good deeds will gain them favor. They trust religious ceremonies to lift them up. Good works avail nothing in achieving salvation. We are saved by grace alone, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Well, I know it's popular to think, well, I've lived a good life, and I pay my bills, and I don't look down my nose at those in Skid Row. I told you about this pastor friend of mine that absolutely does not like to go to rescue missions and preach. You would think that's the best place in the world outside of the penitentiary. That's the best place in the world because, you see, those people need Jesus. And you see, I think we've become fat spiritually. We don't have a need. We're going to get to go to heaven. So, well, how about those who aren't going to get to heaven? You see, when I was a no-good alcoholic, I spoke to 6 different preachers, and not one of them told me that Jesus was my answer. My wife's uncle was a missionary up in Alaska, and he came to Portland to make a visit to my mother-in-law, was his sister, and I did everything I could to get him to tell me about Jesus, and he wouldn't do it. I'd been drinking, I know, but I wasn't being smart aleck. I really wanted to know what a Christian had, and if he had something, how did he get it? Really, you know, a lot of people would be saved today if they knew how to get it, how to get salvation. You remember me telling you many times, I did not believe that God could love someone like me. Oh, I honestly didn't. Oh, but I found out when that he loved me. I listened, and I listened as that brother in Christ who's in glory tonight, enjoying salvation, enjoying the hundreds and hundreds of people that dear brother led to Christ. I want you to know, Reverend Tom Baird never took a drink of anything in his life, but I never saw a man with such a compassionate heart toward alcoholics. Let me tell you a story. I was preaching a revival down in Roanoke, Virginia, and I was staying with him and his wife and 3 kids. Well, Tom, every alcoholic in town knew where Tom was. He had what they call it's kind of a halfway house, only it was for kids that were in trouble and drugs and you name it. Well, they would come to Tom and they'd get food and they'd get clothes. Well, this time I wanted some ham and eggs for breakfast. I love that Smith ham down there in Virginia. So I went down to the store and I bought some ham and some bacon, some eggs and stuff. Brought them back and put them in the refrigerator. I said, now we're going to have a good ham and egg breakfast. The next morning I was in the bathtub taking a bath. And I heard Ann holler, Tom, what did you do with that ham and eggs that Cecil got yesterday? Oh, Ann, he said, you know that alcoholic down the street, he has 3 little kids and they didn't have nothing to eat, and he come and got it. I tell you, friends, I wouldn't have been that gullible, but he was. One time a guy came there to get some food to his house, and there was snow on the ground. Tom looked down and didn't have no shoes on. He said, don't you have any shoes? No, he said, I don't. Tom Baird sat down, took off his shoes, and gave to that man, and he walked out. Compassion, did you know, friends, he had both of his legs removed from the knee down. He had diabetes like I do. And he had cancer. And he had a bad heart. And he had asthma. I never saw a man so physically down as Reverend Tom Baird. Do you know what he'd do He'd read the paper, morning paper, and he'd find someone that got thrown in jail for some reason. He'd get in his wheelchair, and he'd wheel about 4 blocks to the prison, and he'd go in there and tell them about Jesus. Never have I ever seen anything like that in my life. Oh, that God would give me that kind of compassion. I think I have lots of compassion, but I don't think I could touch Tom with a 10-foot pole. Well, Zacchaeus made haste and came down off that limb. Now, the scene below this clamor, common people reaching, crowding, listening, the poor, the sick, the sinful, the troubled. He may have thought himself better than these. Still, Zacchaeus must come down to be saved. He made haste, and he came down. Let me ask you, will you? You know, friends, I told you this story a long time ago, but years ago when I was attending a church in Portland, Oregon, one day, one evening, this particular friend of mine come to me and said, Cecil, you know, my dad is a terrible alcoholic. He hates God, he hates churches, he hates Christians. And at lunch today, he told me tonight he was going to come down and tear this church apart. I'm afraid. Would you stay with me so we can talk to him? I said, sure, we will. And so I asked another man, and there was three of us, and the church had been let out, and they were all gone home. And the three of us were sitting in the foyer of the church. Pretty soon we heard a door bang open, and we heard a guy stumbling up the steps. And when he got to the top of the steps, dear friends, he was crying. His glasses were on top of his head. He'd wet his pants. And he said, is there any help here? Is there any help here? And I jumped up and I grabbed him by the hand. I said, you bet there's help here. Let us go into the prayer room and let's sit down and talk. So the four of us went in there and I shared my testimony with him. Told him that I'd lived the kind of life he'd lived and I was unhappy and I wanted peace, but I didn't know where to get it. And I said, and then I gave my heart to Jesus and I've been sane and sober ever since. He said, that's what I want. And so we led him in a sinner's prayer. About 2 or 3 weeks later, we were having a Christmas cantata at our church. My wife and I and my kids lived out of town, so we were about 5 or 10 minutes late getting to church. When we walked in the church and started up those steps, I heard the most beautiful tenor voice I'd ever heard. Yes, it was that old converted alcoholic. Oh, my friends. You don't have to be an alcoholic to be lost. You're born lost. That's right. And when you become of the age of accountability, you have to decide. Now, you can get on that straight, narrow path that very few people can get on, or you can get on that wide path that leads to hell and destruction. Now, the road to heaven is not easy. I would be fibbing if I told you a Christian life is easy. But it's rewarding. You see, we don't have to walk alone anymore. We've got someone to walk with us. He said, I'm lo, I'm with you, even unto the end of the world. Now, Zacchaeus had to come down to be saved. He made haste and come down. But listen, let me ask you this. Or tell you, I shouldn't say ask, I should tell you. My quartet, three of them were raised in Africa with missionary parents. They were born in Africa with missionary parents. They didn't live in sin. They didn't know hardly knew what sin was. They were back in the jungles. They didn't get out and didn't have radio. Airplane flew in about every 3 weeks with some supplies and some mail. And you know, they had to come to the same place that Cecil Moe, an old drunk, had to come to. That's right. It doesn't make a difference what you've done. The rich, the poor, the prostitute, the lesbian, all have to come down to the foot of the cross. if they want to go to heaven. You say, I don't want to identify with myself or those kind of people. Well, beloved, if you don't, you're not going to find heaven, I'll tell you for sure. Well, his opening up in 6 and 8, it says, verse 6, here it is. So he came down and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be with the guest of the sinner. Jesus doesn't care what kind of a sin. Don't you remember when he saved that guy that had so many diseases? And see, Jesus had a compassionate heart. Listen, Christian friend of mine. Listen, lost man, lost woman. If you don't have compassion on others, boy, you can have it when you come to Jesus. Because Jesus was a savior of compassion. Who would be willing to lay their life down when they were not sinners? Jesus did. Well, Zacchaeus opened his heart. He opened up his home. He opened up his wallet and he opened up his eyes to the needs of others. He opened up his mouth to tell of a full commitment. Can you believe that? But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. That shows me that man had a change of heart. And if any man be in Christ, a new creature. And he changed his heart. You know, friends, when I first got saved, I like to tell the story because it's kind of stupid. But every Sunday morning when the offering tray was passed, old Cecil would reach right in there and he'd pull out his $1 bill. And he'd just as proud as could be, I'm helping pay the pastor's salary. I'm helping send the gospel around the world to missionaries. Oh, my friends, and then one day in a pastor's class I heard where Jesus told those guys, look it, you're robbing from God when you don't tithe, you're robbing. There's a curse upon you, believe it or not. You say, well, then Cecil, and you've been lying to us. You said you can't buy your way into heaven. That's exactly right. You can't buy salvation. You can't buy eternal life. You can't buy anything. You have to come in the door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation came to the house of Zacchaeus, and Jesus reveals this, of what he had come to do, to seek and to save that which is lost. Beloved, if you are lost tonight, Jesus is seeking your heart. Let Jesus bring salvation to you tonight. You say, Cecil, I've been going through life, and I never heard this before. I thought I was going to get to go to heaven because I tried to live a good life and I tried to be good to others. Well, if that's all you got, you don't have it. You're lost, doomed, and damned on the way to hell. I don't know a nicer way to put it. But Jesus said, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Let me tell you, God knows your heart tonight. There might be a real knocking at your heart. You don't understand it, but there's a tugging at your heart. You don't understand it, but it's Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And that's exactly what he did. Friends, tonight, if you don't know Jesus, I want you to come to him as a little child. And here's how the prayer goes, but oh, don't pray it unless you mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Oh, God, please forgive me and please come into my heart, Lord, and give me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't do that. And I sure don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. A lot of Christians say you're crazy, Cecil. That's all I'm concerned about. It's where you spend eternity. Well, I've been doing this for 50-some years, 40-some years, and I've asked people, and I've had people call me in the middle of the night many times, crying and saying, I know I'm lost. And I'd lead them in a sinner's prayer. Well, friends, if I can help you tonight, please call me. Listen, if you can't afford the phone call, call collect. I'll sure accept the charges. 303-471-8534. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, friends, listen. God's word is true. Trust it. Trust Jesus. Help the poor, the needy. Oh, friends, you don't know what a joy it is. I've learned that from my dad, my mom, that giving was so important, and I've tried to live by it. Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor, stay sweet. Please pray for us and our health. I'm going to a specialist now and they're trying to get my sugar under control. Pray for our service Sunday and for the mission down in the rescue mission next week. And I tell you, friends, I appreciate your prayers. I really do, and I feel them. Okay, we'll see you next week, Lord willing. Good night. May God bless you real good.